So a few years ago, I was walking the concourse of National Stadium during a game, you know, when you could do that sort of thing. I was enjoying the cool night air. And as I was looking from one person to another as we walked, my eyes fell on a man who was walking toward my friend and I. He was flanked by two men in suits and looked oddly familiar. I was having trouble placing him. The lighting was fairly dim, and I was relying a lot on the residual light from the field. But as he got to us, the familiarity remained, and I struggled to remember why I recognized him. It wasn't until he passed us that, while I couldn't recall his name, I knew who he was. Which made me turn to my friend and in excitement ask her, "Did you see who we just passed?" "No, who was it?" My excitement waned as I had to explain whose presence we had momentarily been graced with. It was a celebrity and a senator at the time from Minnesota. In our culture, celebrities are often regarded as holy. We treat them as if they are set apart, never truly accessible, except possibly for autographs or occasionally a picture. We print magazines and spill a lot of digital ink, recording the lives of celebrities, offering those of us regular people the ability to have some feeling of knowing them. Some folks don't care how they get there, but they just want to be celebrities. They want to be famous, firmly believing that they will belong to an elite social club and enjoy plenty of benefits. And I have to admit, on that cool August night, I stood in awe of the man that walked past us, whose name I later remembered was Al Franken, a name made famous on TV shows, including Saturday Night Live and radio airwaves before he became a member of the Senate. And also a man whose actions that led to his exit from the Senate make me view him very differently now. But now, as I look back, it seems a bit strange that I found myself staring at Mr. Franken as he passed us. I've had my fair share of celebrity run-ins. I went to a school where Robert Zemeckis and Steven Spielberg were not only guys whose names were on the buildings, but also could be seen on campus from time to time, along with former child actors and the children of other Hollywood stars. Some of my friends work in Hollywood now, and my hometown, Albuquerque, is riddled with celebrities now that it's become a popular filming location. Because I have seen them as people, often as students just like myself when I was in college, rarely have I found myself so captivated by another person, so taken by their apparent holiness. Especially when the real holiness belongs to God. We're now in our second week of our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, and we've approached the petition where we say to God, "Hallowed be your name." Hallowed doesn't get thrown around too much. Probably the closest we get to using it in our daily vernacular is when we talk about Halloween or All Hallows' Eve. So some of us say this part of the prayer alongside the question, what exactly do we want to happen to God's name? Hallowed means to be holy. We want God's name to be holy, to be set apart, to be extraordinary, to be worthy of our awe and reverence in the same way that this dog is in awe and reverence of the food in front of him. We want God to be regarded with the same sort of veneration and devotion that we regard our human celebrities, or rather, exceeding the veneration and devotion of anything else in our lives, even our human celebrities. That's what we're praying for every time we pray this prayer, that God's name, and thereby God, be set apart from everything else, made holy. Because that's what God is. Holy, set apart. Sometimes I think that it is easy to forget this fact because we have such access to God through prayer. And sometimes we feel the Spirit moving strongly And we can have the ability to feel immensely comfortable with God, especially when we call God Father. It's as if God's nearness to us has made us lose sight of God's immensity, lose sight of the fact that all of this is because of God. From the flaming ball of gas in the sky that could contain 1 million Earths, to the tiny cell invisible to our human eye. All of it created by God. Even us. Silly little beings who pretend to be more than we are and create our own gods. If we're willing to make celebrities holy because of some rare talent, then we need to acknowledge that God is the holiest, most worthy of our praise and adoration, because nobody else could create such beauty. And yet, even though God is set apart, God's holiness is infectious, making everything and everybody around God holy. Almost like King Midas, whatever God touches will become holy. Like the ground around the burning bush, the ground that Moses had to remove his shoes before stepping onto. Even Moses, whose face radiates with God's glory as he comes down the mountain after being with God. So when we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," because we say that because everything that God touches, or even simply or even simply be in the presence of, will be holy, including you. You are holy, set apart to be something different, to do something different with your life. No more do you need to run from one thing to the next, looking for glory in what you do. Instead, God says, you are holy just by belonging to God. So you don't have to run around looking for glory in the things that you do. Instead, God says you are holy just by belonging to God, by being a child of God, part of a holy family, where you are holy because the father, the parent of the family, is. And as Paul says in Romans, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, then the branches are also holy. So perhaps it's time that we, the children of God, live into our holiness, realizing that we belong to a God who is far more worthy of our awe and reverence than Al Franken, Jack Nicholson, or Betty White. And also to realize that these are people who are human and are just as likely to screw things up as we are. Maybe it's time for us to pray that God's name be made holy, not just with our lips and our hearts, but also with our hands and our feet, working to ensure that the world knows how awesome God really is. Because God is really more holy than we give God credit for, and yet still isn't selfish with that holiness. Instead, insisting on sharing it with the world and infecting us with holiness.